We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now stay with the fan for this special program. The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
The results are not good tonight. In front of a national audience, the Brewers fall 3-1 the final, and welcome in, everybody. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Evan Heffelfinger back in the studio, as well as myself, Tim Allen, and talking through a 3-1 loss. This would have been a huge victory. And by the way, can I just say, you know, It was aggravating to me having the Cubs fans at American Family Field. These White Sox fans kind of got to me, too. Can we please take care of that, everybody? And I think we will in terms of the opposition crowd coming in, as the Brewers down to 62 games left. 100, a clean 100 in the books here with the Brewers lost tonight 58-42. I would assume then now we're getting full focus here on the Milwaukee Brewers. The Bucks clear, and they win an NBA title. Packers training camp just getting underway in just a couple of days. And now we can enjoy the rest of the hot summer. And it's been a hot summer, as well as the dog days of summer with regards to baseball. And maybe that won't happen again this year. And just having those White Sox fans, and it did bother me. And also what bothers you is an 0-2, two-run base hit with two outs by the pitcher on the other team. That one's a tough one to handle, too. The other thing that's a little bit more difficult to handle as well is one run on the board. Now, again, there's a whale of a staff over there in Chicago. I mean, you've got Lance Lynn coming in at 194. You've got Kopech, who's been outstanding, about a buck and a half ERA. Hendricks has been amazing as well. So you can kind of get the one run. You also have to look at some of the positives as well. And that is, you know, they held this White Sox team in the three-game set to just five runs in the series. So there are some things to lift out of this. Just a rough one tonight for Woodruff in that second inning. Other than that, he chews up seven innings. His ERA balloons to 2.14. That's it. Goes from 2.04 to 2.14. So he did settle in quite nicely. Nine strikeouts in the performance. But you stranded, let's see here, nine base runners. You stranded nine base runners, just could not get that big hit tonight. That's what this game was. You come up with a big hit here, a clutch hit, a men on base hit, and you're going to win this baseball game. And again, another day goes by without Josh Hader pitching. That can be good, and we'll see. I think overall that's pretty good that you can limit the amount of stress on that arm here. You're going to need him in the final 2 months. And then we get to the trade deadline. Now the clock's ticking. You get a work week getting going tomorrow morning. You've got till 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. That's where the trade deadline is, and we'll see if they, you know, if they can put together a couple of moves. You've got, for all likelihood, Lorenzo Cain being activated on Tuesday. Now, the Brewers do have an off day tomorrow. Activation of Lorenzo Cain in Pittsburgh. So there's a little bit of a bonus. Also, the bonus would be Adam Frazier, speaking of trades, no longer a Pittsburgh Pirate. That guy was a thorn in the side for this baseball team, and you've got quite a few matchups against the Pittsburgh Pirates coming up, and that will help. That probably gives them one additional win. In my estimation, man, Frazier's been tough on the Brewers. So you've got all those things nutshelled into the first 100 games of the 2021 championship season. Evan, welcome back in. It's been a while since you and I have worked together.
It has been a long time, but, you know, it feels like it's been 24 minutes. I'm back, and I'm ready to be back.
And we're ready to talk a little bit more about Christian Yelich. And we have to ask this question. I do have to ask this question. If I get on Jackie Bradley Jr., if I get on Pablo Reyes, if I can get on any number of these guys, which I do a little bit. I mean, I love them all. I do. 235 is your batting average now for Christian Yelich with 6 home runs and 24 RBIs. To put things into perspective, read down the list here, just in the players that appeared in this baseball game that are hitting far better than Christian Yelich. I mean, Colton Wong, Willy Adames, Avi Garcia, Omar Narvaez, Tyrone Taylor. I mean, where do we stop on this? It's tough. We need to get into that conversation. It's a very difficult conversation. But for, you know, for all intents and purposes, there's something wrong. And I can't put my finger on it. Can you?
The only thing I can think of is it's timing. It's either timing or it's all mental. Those are the only two things I can think of. Because mechanically, the swing looks fine. I think it's just timing.
He had 2 opportunities tonight to change the game. Which, you know, we're not expecting a miracle worker out of Christian Yelich. That's not where my bar is. It's still baseball. And there's still guys that are super good in the other dugout that are trying to get him out. You do have a success rate of only 30% when you're in the box. So I have an understanding for that. I do. But once in a while, dude, you got to do something. Once in a while, you've got to do something here. Now, I was told I was out of line when I brought it up on June 1st. I said, okay, maybe I was. Maybe it was a little early. Okay, I acquiesce. I take a step back. As I'm not going to talk about Yelich's struggles here until July 1st. Okay, July 1st hits, and I'm like, okay, well, let's just hold off just a little while longer. Let's get to the All-Star break. How about that? It did pop up, a couple of pop-up conversations about Christian Yelich, but nothing major. Get to the All-Star break. Well, now we're almost through July. Now we're looking at an off day tomorrow. And in the month of July, and then it's going to be August 1st. So at what point is there major concern here? Now, you had an opportunity while this, again, this isn't hindsight. Guys, this is something we need to get into. You had an opportunity when Colton Wong was on the injured list to pop Yelich into the leadoff spot. Enough with the Luis Urias. Go with Yelich there while Colton's back. You're not going to outseed Colton Wong out of the leadoff spot once he's back and healthy. I mean, he's been outstanding. But you had an opportunity right there to kind of force the issue a little bit. I don't know if it was baby caking on him. He's set in this, against right-handers. He's going to be in the two hole. Against left-handers, he's in the three hole. That's just the way it's going to be, apparently, for Craig Counsell. But at some point, the dude's got to get going. Because this, it is part. I hate saying this. I really do. He is, in regards to the Brewers' offensive struggles at times, he is a good chunk of the blame. Sorry to say it. I think that's a fair statement. I mean, .235, his on-base percentage now is starting to fall. Still pretty good, though. I gotta say, what is it officially at? I don't wanna throw out a number that isn't there. At 390-ish.
Yeah, right around there. I'm still looking for an official number an updated number, but somewhere around 390.
But a .235 batting average is not going to cut it in the two or three hole. I'm sorry. And you know, when Counsell was asked if Christian is ready to turn the corner, his first sentence was, "We're a good baseball team." Well, of course you are. We know that. Everybody knows that. Some nice, strong words to back that statement up from the national perspective on ESPN television tonight. But a 3-1 loss, 799-1250. They do take two of three, and I'll take that. This may have been a little bit of a preview. This was playoff-type baseball. This was cool. I enjoyed this series. I really did. It was, you hate to lose it, especially just putting up one run. But again, I give credit to Loretta Lynn, who started for the Chicago White Sox. And then their bullpen, they've got a couple of studs out there. Their bullpen's pretty good. So, I mean, you chalk that one up too. Hey, White Sox are good. Taking two out of three, I'll take that. 799-1250. But Christian Yelich conversation on a Sunday night to wind your weekend down. I'm not going to totally lose my mind, but I'm getting close. I am. How many times is this dude down 0-2 in the count? I mean, seemingly half of his at-bats, he's down 0-2. I don't know if there's a remedy for that. I don't know what the problem is. I really don't. I don't know. Let's get into our game recap. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell tonight as well, so stick around for that. 799-1250. If you want to figure this out with me on the Christian Yelich conversation, or am I out of line? I'm okay with you telling me that. I'm all right with that. Maybe we can educate Tim here on just cool your jets a little bit on Yelly. He'll be fine. Well, I'm having a little problem with patience here with the he'll be fine thing. I don't think I'm alone. As good as he is, okay, well, I digress here. Let's get into our game recap. This was a cool game. It was a decent game, playoff-type feel. Woodruff, in that first inning, he sets him down in order, 1-2-3. The problem there was Abreu, the three-hitter there, he had recorded the two outs on eight pitches. Well, it took eight to get Abreu out, and you know, it was 16-pitch count in that first inning. So that did hurt a little bit. I don't know if that had anything to do with, you know, his second inning problems, but maybe. Wong, Yelich, and Adamas all strike out in the bottom of the first inning off Loretta Lynn. Now, I say Loretta Lynn because I've been calling him that since he's been in a Cardinals uniform. Yelich did strike out on three pitches in that first inning. Second inning, they jump all over Woody. And they get him good. After a base hit, that was a race on a double play. The two-out walk started it. All told, four hits, that walk, three runs later, two of them knocked in by the aforementioned Lynn on an 0-2 pitch to the pitcher. Wow, that one hurt. That really hurt. Brewers in order in the second inning. Woody bounces back, puts up a zero in that third. Erased on another double play. Brewers, two-out traffic in that third inning. Woody, a full-count base hit. Wong follows up with a single of his own. Here we go, Christian. Change the game now. Come on, baby. Four pitches he strikes out. He's seen seven pitches in his first two at-bats with two strikeouts. Both teams empty in that fourth inning as both pitchers got over 60 on their pitch counts. 63 for Lynn, 66 for Woody through the four into the fifth inning. Woody, a zero in the fifth. Brewers finally hit the pay window. Bottom of the fifth inning, a one-out triple from Tyrone Taylor, and JBJ in a full count comes through.
The next 3-2. And Bradley sends that out to right center field. Taylor scores easily. Back-to-back extra base hits, and the Brewers are on the board in the fifth.
That makes it 3-1 right there. Still a game, mid-game. Woody, let's see here, up 3-1 in the count there. Looks at strike two and strike three. I would have been swinging right there if I'm Woody. I mean, you're up 3-1. Let's go. He doesn't want to walk you. You're going to get something to hit. Woody's a decent hitter. But they do get on the board, 3-1 into that sixth inning after the Brewers get on the board in that fifth. Woody could have used the shutdown inning and gets it. You're thinking his day is done. Maybe not, as the Brewers get a couple of more base runners in the sixth inning. One-out base hit for Adames, two-out base hit for Telez, two on for Jace Peterson. Oh, on the first pitch, he bounces out. Ouch. Woody, yeah, back out there for the seventh inning of work. And a scoreless frame right there. Retired the last 10 men he faced. 9 strikeouts, 103 pitches, with just the 3 runs given up through the 7 innings of work. More base runners for the Brewers in the 7th. This is what I told you. They just couldn't come up with a big hit. JBJ with a 1-out double. Avi pinch hitting, draws a walk. It brought up Colton Wong. He pops it up for the 2nd out. 2 out, 2 on for Yelly. And Yelich bounces out down the frame. When is the game-changing swing going to happen here? 0 for 4 again for Christian Yelich tonight. To the 8th, Jake Cousins, a scoreless top of the 8th. I credit Craig Counsell here, guys. Normally, when you're trailing by 2, he plays maybe a little different in his bullpen. Maybe it's a Miguel Sanchez, an Angel Perdomo, a Gustave. But he doesn't. He goes with a couple of his guns there. It appeared he wanted this game. It also appeared to me he wasn't very happy when the score was 3-0, 3-1. ESPN interviewed him in between innings there. He didn't sound like a happy dude, but Cousins and Boxberger, scoreless frames, 8th and 9th, respectively. But the Brewers' offense just couldn't get going. Leadoff man on in both the 8th and the 9th innings. Again, 9 runners left on base for the Crew. They fall in this one. The record through the first 100 games of the 2021 championship season, 58-42. And I will say this on a positive note into our first break here. If you'd ask me, through the first 100 games, Tim, would you take 58-42? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all would have taken that. There's no doubt about that. But, again, could it have been better? Could it be better? Will it be better? I would think probably. Some of these accolades for these pitchers. I mean, you had the first time in a 3-game set where 5 of the 6 starters were all-stars. I mean, you're looking at some pretty crazy kind of historic things that are going on here. I like that part of it, and I'm looking forward to the final couple of months plus here. 414-799-1250. Try and tell me what's wrong with Christian Yelich. Is there an angle that I'm not seeing here? We'll talk about that after the break here. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove after a Brewers 3-1 loss.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan, call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
All right, let's get to some of your reaction here as the Brewers fall in Game 3. They do take the series. There's the good news, man, and I'm pleased with that. This was sort of a message sent, I think, kind of series. I believe that. I mean, this wasn't a blowout victory. This was good pitching. This was playoff style of baseball in this game here. You get a 7-1 victory, 6-1 victory, a 3-1 loss. And you take that series, and you'll take that. They're a really good baseball team. They really are. And you outscore, 13-14-5 in this series. and you'll take that. Let's get to your reaction. Also, the Christian Yelich conversation. I'm trying to be as nice as I can about it, guys. You guys know I go sideways once in a while and go into a little bit of a tirade. I'm trying to be super nice and trying to understand this. So if there's an angle I'm not getting, I would appreciate that. I really would. But, man, come up with a huge hit once in a while. I'm not asking for it five times a week, Christian. I'm asking for it maybe once a week. Is that too much? Is that fair? All right. Toby is also with us. He's on hold. We'll get to him in a second. He was at American Family Field for this one, covering the game, our reporter down in there. But let's start things out with Brett. Brett, what's on your mind? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Tim. I actually called in. I want to ask you a question before I get off. But since you asked the question about Yelly, and I don't want people to start throwing him under the bus. I mean, obviously, what he did in 18 and 19 for us, he's incredible, right?
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I wanted to write last year off as COVID year or coming off an injury. But every single week and game and month that goes on this year, I'm concerned. I mean, he's had the two best years of his career, and he's followed up with the two worst years of his career. And, I mean, yeah, he's getting on base and everything, but he just looks awful. And to keep putting him in the three hole, I mean, we need him. I mean, he's got 7 years and $182 million left on his deal. So they got to figure it out. And, yeah, I don't think it's an overreaction by you at all. I'm very concerned about him.
All right, very good. Okay, so there's one in the books.
And
June 1st.
The reason I called
go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
On Friday, you made a comment. You know, obviously the trade deadline's coming up, and I think we need one bat for sure, if not two. But Friday, I was listening to it today, and your post game, you made a comment that obviously Braun was in town. He was at the Bucks game. But you said that you heard that he said he was considering coming back, and he hasn't ruled it out yet. I'm just wondering where you heard that and if it was a video or an audio clip.
I'm like sure there is.
Yeah.
Brett, I'll tell you what. I got one of the best in the business on the control board right now with me. And his name is Evan Heffelfinger. And Evan, it was on TMJ4. It was a woman field reporter covering the Bucks. And I'm sure it's somewhere there. But I know the quote. I can tell you the quote. Let me look for it here. Let's see here. Here it is. Here's Braun. Are you coming back? Are you coming? You think about getting back to baseball? Quote, I'm considering it. I haven't completely ruled it out. That was after the Bucks game.
And that's awesome. I mean, I'm a diehard Braun fan, and I think he would fill a huge role platooning with Vogelbach or platooning with Tellez at first. And honestly, and I know you talked about this past weekend, but I think it might help Yelly too, and I think having him in the clubhouse the last 2 months would be a huge boost. So hopefully he comes back and hopefully they can work something out. So
Brett, I'm with you, man. I am with you. Thanks for the call. If it is a mental thing, because this game can be tough on you, man. And it just, you know, I've seen guys really have problems with failure here, and it's tough. It's challenging. It's futile. There's humility involved. There's all sorts of things. They feel embarrassed at times. Performers do. I mean, I can tell you this, the bands that I play in, boy, I got embarrassed a couple of weeks ago at an event. I'm trying to do the riff of the center field song by Fogerty, the Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Play. You know, that beginning after the clapping sound, and I butchered it. I almost wanted to start the song over. It was so bad. Performers get embarrassed like that. We do. They do. And sometimes it is the intestinal mental fortitude that brings them out of it. And I honestly, you know, guys, I'm a little tired of this. It's just baseball thing. That's just baseball. It's baseball. Well, why is it not baseball for Castellanos? Why is it not baseball for some of these other guys having great seasons? I don't know. Again, I don't have a clear answer for you. I'm trying to figure it out. Toby, you were at the game tonight. White Sox fans were getting on my nerves a little bit over the weekend, but that's probably not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of White Sox fans in that stadium. I wasn't really surprised by it, but it was definitely a lot of White Sox heavy. I don't know if it was 70-30, but I don't know that it was 50-50 either. I think it'd be closer to 60-40 White Sox fans. But it was a little bit weird how after the final out, it seemed like the White Sox had won Game 7 of the World Series or something. It was a little loud of a reaction for a win at American Family Field tonight, a game 100 for the Brewers, game 101 or 102 for the White Sox.
But that's respect, though. I looked at that as respect for the Milwaukee Brewers. You think it's a huge win? You win game 3 to not get swept, and you act like that? I think that's a sign of respect for a good baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I agree with that. They're excited to get one win against the Brewers. They're excited that they didn't get swept. The Brewers still won that series, so... You're 100% right. They're excited because they realize how good a team the Milwaukee Brewers are. And to get a win not only against the Milwaukee Brewers, but when a guy like Brandon Woodruff is on the mound and you throw your own ace in Lance Lynn against them. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great win for the White Sox tonight. And you know what? It's one of those nights for the Brewers where they just didn't get that timely hit. You've mentioned it. At 9 left on base, you got to come up at some point and get a hit to drive one home, and they just didn't have it tonight. And that's the beauty of baseball. Some nights you have it, some nights you don't. But, you know, the White Sox threw their A-game out tonight with Lance Lynn, and they came out with Kopech, and then they went with Hendricks for 2 innings. They weren't fooling around tonight. They wanted that win. So you're absolutely right. I mean, they respect the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's a big win for them, and they showed it after the win.
Yeah, and I think it was a sign that Craig Counsell wanted this win too, and going with Jake Cousins and Boxberger in the eighth and ninth. Now, the off day tomorrow may have had something to do with that. But again, this is typically not how Craig Counsell manages that bullpen down two late in a game.
Yeah, and I mean, at one point he even had Hader up warming. So he definitely wanted that game.
Yep.
And like you said, the off day might have something to do with it. But he understands it's Sunday Night Baseball. This is a big series against the White Sox. They're a team that could potentially be someone that if the Brewers make it to the World Series, they're meeting in or having one of these types of matchups once again. And you're right, it did feel like a World Series-type atmosphere tonight with the fans. It wasn't as full as it was Saturday night, but it still had some good energy. The White Sox fans brought it for their team. The Brewers fans are trying to combat that with, you know, riling up the other Brewers fans in the crowd. There was one guy in front of the press box that turned around and said, "Are you here to drink beer or cheer on the Brewers? Let's go!" So, you know, it was a good atmosphere tonight all around.
Awesome. Toby Altizer reporting for The Fan at American Family Field. Toby, I appreciate it. Have fun with Bart tomorrow morning.
Well, dude, Tim, one last comment. I was sitting next to Jerry Augustine in the press box tonight, and so I brought it up to Augie. I said, "What's going on with Christian Yelich?" And you've been talking about it a little bit, and he mentioned that he thought the pitching to him has been a little bit different this year. Now we're going into August almost, so he's got to adjust if that's the case. But he brought up the pitching, and that's something that I hadn't thought of. Maybe the pitchers are coming at him a little bit different. He mentioned being able to get those two strikes and then getting them off, like, off speed away. And that's kind of what he mentioned was the key to why Yelich was struggling. But you got to hope that at some point, if that's the case, he figures it out and is able to adjust to that pitching.
Yeah, no doubt. Toby, good stuff. Thanks, man.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Augie might be right that there needs to be a readjustment on Yelich's side of things. Okay, they're going to adjust to you. Now you got to adjust back. Just don't you miss, even if it's the third inning, the fourth inning. How about the first inning? A two-run shot to give the Brewers a two-zip lead. How about a two-run double in the fifth? I mean, we're missing all of that. I mean, I could see if you get that once in a while. We're not getting that once in a while. It's increasingly more frustrating as the days and weeks and months go by. Sorry, months. Matt at 799-1250. Matt, you're on The Fan. We got Matt or no?
Yeah, Matt.
Oh, go ahead, Matt. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to comment on the Yelich thing, but also some black holes that I think we need to address for free agency. I think Vass Gerjun made a good point. After the kneecap, I think that led to the back problems, and his swing is just different. Unfortunately, he's not the same hitter. Black holes, center field, first base. I hate to say it, but I wouldn't mind trade deadline maybe getting Trevor Story and Charlie Blackmon for Yelich. I'd love to stay in-house and maybe give Garrett Mitchell a chance in the outfield. But there's a black hole in the outfield. Like, Jackie Bradley Jr., great defense, but 187, like, we're the lowest batting average in baseball. We need some hitting to support this pitching if you're going to make a World Series run. They made a stat today. The three top pitchers has happened a couple times with the Braves. Mm-hmm. Never won a World Series. You need hitting. So, I mean, I think Yelich is just the knee injury leading to the back injuries. I think it's, unfortunately, I love Yelich, but he's not the same hitter. I think they need to go out, maybe like the Padres are talking about, putting Trevor Story in center field. Maybe the Brewers need to go out and do that. I'd love to try to give Garrett Mitchell a chance, but and first base, too, we need to address that. Joey Gallo, like, I think this is the year we need to go in and do it. We got a shot this year. Just like the Bucs had a shot, we have a shot this year. Our pitching is incredible. We need to go all in.
You're on it.
Bucks did.
You're on it. All right, thanks for the call. You're right. You're right. They know that. Stearns, Arnold, Council, Adonasio, they know they've got a chance here. A legitimate chance. Now, is it going to be tough? Hey, you project 2 months down the line, guys. You look at the NL playoff picture a little bit, and just I'm just throwing these teams out there. This is tough. It's going to be cool, but it's tough. Giants, Dodgers, Padres, Mets, Brewers. My goodness. I mean, the Reds, we haven't heard the last of the Reds. I think there's still a run left in the Reds. They're a pretty good baseball team, and they may retool to kind of bring in some, you know, some strength and some slug or maybe another pitcher. But part of this offensive issue, you know, we talked about it. Keston Hira and Christian Yelich. Could you imagine? Let's just dream and pipe dream for a second here. Okay, the offense is bad. Matt, you're right. Or, you know, comparative. However, it's been a little bit better the second half of this, the second 50 games of the 100. Has been better. But they dug such a hole that, I mean, now that there's such a big window. But could you imagine? Yelich was doing his thing, hitting about 317. Let's give him 18 home runs. Let's give him 61 RBIs. Could you imagine? Keston Hira, let's say 14 homers. Knocks in about 52. Hitting about 288. Then you put it together with Omar, Colton Wong, Willie Adames. That's why it's frustrating to me, because of the what-if factor. That's why it's really super frustrating to me. And I don't have an answer for you. We're trying to figure this out. 799-1250 if you're on hold. We'll get to you for sure. The Brewers fall 3-1. The White Sox avoid the sweep. And I think a couple of our callers, including Toby, made mention that they celebrated like Game 7 of the World Series. That's a sign of respect. Both managers, both of these teams wanted this game pretty damn bad for probably different reasons. One didn't want to get swept, and the other wanted to send a message around the league on national television on ESPN that they are legit, and that's the Brewers side of things. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove here on The Fan.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
3-1, the final. Brewers, they fall in game three of this three-game set. They do take the series. That's the good news, and a well-played series pretty much throughout. Just couldn't come up with a big hit here in game three. Welcome back in, and seems weird on a Sunday night, doesn't it? I mean, it just seems weird for me. We're creatures of habit here. And since the Brewers very rarely play on Sunday night baseball, no respect, I tell you. Normally, at what, just after 10 o'clock here? Okay, normally the Brewers and this show would clear out by, you know, 6-ish, somewhere in there, 6:30. Can you guess, Evan Heffelfinger, what kind of shape I'm in normally on Sunday nights? At around 10 o'clock.
At around 10 o'clock, I'm assuming you're about four champagne of beers deep and a steak deep.
Steak probably being served now.
Okay.
Right around 10 o'clock every Sunday with probably four of the High Lifes and stray Jack and Coke tuckled in there nice and neat. Yeah. So it is a little bit different. But the Brewers with an off day, you can tell where I'll be tomorrow night. Let's get to you guys before we hear from Craig Counsell. Again, your reaction here on the game, the series, the Brewers after the first 100. You hear that in more in political world. But the first 100 games in the books, 2021 championship season, and finally the Christian Yelich conversation. If I'm out of line, tell me. It's fine. I'm trying to be extremely nice about this. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, you're next on the Fan.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A few comments on Christian Yelich. First of all, things definitely changed after the broken kneecap. That's a pretty serious injury. But he just doesn't, and I think it's mental. He's flying around the field. He's stealing bases. He's sliding. But he just doesn't seem to be aggressive early in the count. He's always down 0-1, 0-2. Yep. And he doesn't seem to step the hit. He doesn't look like he puts that same pressure on the front foot, you know, stepping into the ball.
Well, driving the baseball. We're lack of driving the baseball.
His slugging percentage is absolutely horrible. Council's got to shake things up. Like you mentioned, bat him first, bat him seventh, bat him sixth. Shake it up a little bit. Give him 2 days off. And rumor has it that Tyrone Taylor will be going down when King comes back. And in all honesty, that is just not fair.
That's a tough pill to swallow for TT. He's been doing outstanding. I mean, he really has. Okay, Charlie, thanks for the call. And points taken. You keep thinking that it's going to happen tonight. And then two on, one out for Yelly. All right, you just keep thinking that that's the one, right? If you're like me, as a Brewers fan, you know, today you had two opportunities here. And it's almost like you're convinced it's going to happen now. And continually, it proves to be the direct opposite. I mean, almost at bat in, at bat out. Yeah, he gets a spray single here or there. You think he's coming out of it, homered against the Reds, had an RBI double. You keep thinking that, okay, now we're going to see a little. I'm not asking for 329. I'm not asking for MVP numbers. That's a tough call. That's a tough call for any player any year to expect that to be where the bar is. But my goodness, I don't think for a Christian Yelich, 281 is too much to ask for. I don't think a game-changing swing once a week is too much to ask for. That, to me, is the biggest problem. A down year I get. Everybody has them. I don't care what the name is on your jersey. You're going to have them. But even those guys, even a bad year, once a week, you see some flashes. We don't see him. We don't see him. Let's see here. Let's go to Todd. Todd, you're next on the fan.
Howdy, boys. Boy, Timmy, you know it's bad when the coal miner's daughter, in his old days, I can't stand the guy. I actually was amazed when I saw him. I didn't know what happened to the coal miner's daughter until I saw
him. Hey, he's good, man. He's having a great season, and he's well compensated for it. Just signed a nice 2-year deal.
Yeah, he's having a hell of a year. So I see the coal miner's daughter up tonight, and I'm like, where did he come from? You brought him out of the grave. But, you know, the old days, they would always pitch around Yelich. So it just goes to show you that how, you know, I don't know. I hate getting on the guy's back, but I'm on it. Every time he gets up, I'm convinced it's not going to happen.
See, I'm convinced it is. I'm the opposite, Todd, and I'll keep you here to respond. I'm the opposite. When he's in those situations, I'm convinced that this is the one. This is the one that, you know, you're two on and two out. He's sandwiched around Wong and Adames, half of his plate appearances right now. And the other half, he's sandwiched around, Adames and Avi Garcia or Omar Narvaez. It's not protection. This isn't about protection. He's protected. He should be getting pitches good enough to hit. He should be.
Right.
And to some degree, he is.
Yeah, he should be in a Brinks truck right now. He really should be. But he's not, and it's just not happening. And think about this. It's like, how nice would it have been just to switch? You know, everybody, I don't know why council's so hung up on having him up in the order. You know, that's been my main gripe. You know, me and the pipe bomb, it's like, we're on the same page. It's like, how nice would it have been to switch Tyrone Taylor and him out tonight? You know, he had two guys on base, back-to-back, strikeout, flyout, whatever, and it's just awful. And, I've given up on that guy. I think he is what he is. He's a 230, 235 hitter the rest of this year, and that's all you need to get out of him. And it's time to face reality, you know? It's time to face reality. Move him down the line, and if he gets back up, then sure, fine. But it's enough. When do you have to sacrifice, you know, and now with Kane coming back and stuff, you know, all these guys are, you know, like one of the callers said before, which I think we're all on the same page, it's very upsetting. It's just because of name recognition puts you in the lineup, not of what you're doing. And in today's world, it's, you know, what have you done for me lately? And Tyrone Taylor has done a wonderful job. Keep him in the lineup and let the old guard fight to get back into it. Not name recognition. Let them earn it.
There is going to be a log jam in the outfield. It's going to be interesting to see how they shake that out. Todd, thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, I just wonder if – now, you recall, roll the clock back to April, and the question to Craig Counsell oftentimes was, well, you know, Christian's going to play every day. But how are you going to find the ABs for Lorenzo Cain, Avi Garcia, and Jackie Bradley Jr.? Now, the rotation was each one of them gets a day off once every 3 days. So they play two of every three. I wonder if they're going to go back to that. And again, as Todd mentioned right there, what does this do for Tyrone Taylor? That's a tough pill to swallow. That's a big league decision. That's for sure. Before we hear from Craig Counsell, let's hear from Mike. Mike felt the need to pick up the phone and call the fan.
Oh, my God, Timmy. From last night to the full moon, my little tailgate. And I got
right.
Heated out on my car show, lost my wallet.
Oh, no.
Shop. I want Ryan Braun in left. I want Jackie Bradley and Kane platooning. I want Tyrone Taylor and whoever out and right. I don't know what you do at Yelich. You know, you can't send him down because
no,
he's a veteran. He's
you
MVP.
Can't sit him down. You got to play him. You're stuck with him. He's going to play every day because you have to gamble.
I call him the statue. I don't know if you ever heard this rumor. He does not take a practice swing. He walks to the on-deck circle, and he just holds the bat, and he watches. And he goes to the plate, and he watches. I can give you a whole at-bat real quick, because I know you got to go to
play-by-play from Mike on the south side. Shoot.
Four pitches. High and right, takes it, one ball. Pass fell down the middle, swings and misses. Curveball down low, swings and misses. Fastball, swings and misses. I just can't watch it no more. I don't know what you do with this guy.
You just cross your fingers.
Answers. I want answers, Timmy.
Grab the dice cup and just flop it. That's what you do. That's what you have to do.
I'm going to ask the Magic 8 Ball tomorrow what we do with this guy. I'm going to see what it says. But I have no answers.
I know that.
Go from, what, two-time MVP?
Well, one time, right?
I thought he got one with the Marlins.
No.
Oh, so one time. But still. And they got to get Braun. I don't know how you're going to do it. One thing about Braun, he'll get some hits. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's gonna have that. Yeah. Oh, he's gonna have that sweet swing just rolling down in August and September.
Oh,
for sure.
Tomorrow, right?
They are. Yeah.
Hopefully, my car is gonna be cheap.
Find your wallet. Find my wallet.
Yeah. And we put up 10 runs against Pittsburgh.
Yes, that'll be a good way to start that series.
Tomorrow, right?
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot.
We'll see you, buddy.
Yep. You're subjected to. Here's your answer. I don't have the answer to get him going. I have the answer to what you do with him. Evan, I don't know if you agree with me, but you grab the dice, ask the bartender for the dice cup, and you roll the dice. You play him every day. That's what you do with Christian Yelich, and you just hope that the dice come up large for you.
I agree to a certain extent with you. I just think you wonder about the psyche. I wonder if so many failures in a row will kind of just start piling up. How do you feel about like a mental day off or a mental couple of days off?
I'm for maybe two. He sits two of these games in Pittsburgh. Try and be in front of this now instead of contemplating in September doing it.
While you have Tyrone playing well, Jackie Bradley's playing well, and Avi is solid enough, have them play, yeah.
And Lorenzo Cain coming back is going to help. So you go with some matchups with that platoon situation. Why is it, and we're going to hear from Craig Counsell too, I was just thinking while doing a radio show, thinking about random disconnections. When you're sitting at a bar, who made the rule up that you, with a dice cup, that you have to pound it with all your might into the bar? Have you noticed that, Evan? Hey, do you have a shake a day? Okay, you're five of a kind, you win the pot or whatever. And these dudes just slam these dice cups.
Well, it's because when you do it, you want to make sure everyone in the bar knows that you're either going to be rich or you just had a bad dice toss.
Yeah, that's just nuts. I mean, it's just common everywhere, too. Just bam. All right, let's get to Craig Counsell. He's got to be pleased with the series overall. I would say that. You just couldn't come up with a big hit tonight. You had the traffic. You left nine on base. Multiple runners in a few of those innings. Multiple runners with one out in two of the nine innings. I mean, that's the tough part. One swing of the bat. And you have probably a different outcome in this one. We'll hear from Craig Counsell. And then still to come, we'll get our play of the game. We'll hear from Brandon Woodruff. And we'll also talk to Counts on his way home. Although, when are they flying? They might be flying tonight. I don't know if they're doing the off day in Pittsburgh. My guess is they're going to fly tomorrow, but we can talk to Craig Counsell on his ride back to Whitefish Bay as well. Here's Counsell after the Brewers 3-1 loss.
Craig, obviously Woody was kicking himself on that 0-2 fastball to Lynn. I mean, kind of an unlikely guy to get a big hit. He hasn't really even batted much the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. He blew two fastballs by him, kind of, and then, the guy put a bat on the ball and put it in the right place. I'm sure, you know, you're always, when the pitcher's getting ahead, you're always kicking yourself. So it's, you know, just one of those things that happened. Unfortunately, there was men on base and ended up being a big spot. But he pitched really, really well and threw the ball well all night. I thought his stuff was really crisp all night. It was really, to me, it was the Zavalis and the Lynn at bat, the first pitch curveball, you know, for a base hit, and then Lynn, and that was it. The rest, I thought, was just really, really good, as good as we've seen him.
Unfortunately, with a pitcher like Lynn, sometimes that's all they need, right, is a few runs. You look at his stats for the year, and he just hasn't given up many runs.
Yeah, he doesn't give up runs, and, I mean, there's you know, he showed us why tonight. The cutter he's throwing it's a good, really good pitch, and it's, you know, it's changed him against left-handers still. Well, it's changed him against left-handers. You know, it's a weapon for him for sure. It's sharp. And it was, you know, he's had success against everybody this year. He's tough to score against. We got a couple of rallies, and it's one of those things where you got to, you know, we had limited opportunities, a couple of small opportunities, and we just didn't get the next hit.
His cutter breaks so much, it almost looks like a slider at times, doesn't it? I mean, he has a real.
Yeah, you could call it a slider. He throws it really hard. It's hard, but he changes the velocity with it a little bit, and he's got, you know, he's just got a good feel on the mound. He gets down the mound, good extension, kind of a low slot, and so yeah. But it's he can shape that pitch or change velocities with it a little bit.
You had that one shot against him, Craig, in the fifth with a triple and a double, and of course Woody actually didn't have too bad of a bat. He struck out eventually, but within the next inning against Kopech, and then that was kind of it, wasn't it? Those two shots, right?
Well, we had fifth, sixth. We had a couple opportunities late, like second half of the game, leadoff hitter on against Kopech in the eighth. You know, a little bit against Kopech in the seventh. So we had shots. The next hit eluded us tonight, unfortunately. And you know, and then I thought the Hendricks, just when he came in, and you do have to be aggressive against him. The first pitch is a really good pitch to hit against him. We were aggressive. He got us to pop it up. That's what he does. But we were aggressive on, I thought, pitches, good pitches to swing at. And he just beat us a little bit. But not making it easy on him in the eighth kind of set him up, you know, with a two inning save, made it a little easier on him in the ninth.
Craig, between the big crowds this weekend and just the, you know, the overall quality of play, how did you think this series, how did it feel for you guys?
Well, it's a good team. I mean, that's the biggest thing. This is a really good team. They bring good players. They throw good players out there every spot. The pitchers that throw in the game are tough. So, like I said, we played two really good games. I thought we played a good game tonight. We just, you know, it was we were missing a hit, and we're facing some really tough pitching. We just didn't do quite enough against a good team tonight, and so they beat us. But we gave ourselves some little shots. It's just, I get, like, against the guys like this, you just, it's limited opportunities and you got to make the most of them. And fortunately tonight we weren't able to.
Your pitching, Craig, though, really measured up. I mean, like we knew they would, they have all year, but I mean, you gave up five runs in three games. I mean, against a really good lineup.
Yeah, we pitched well. You know, our everybody pitched well. You know, everybody that we threw out there this weekend did a really nice job, and we're really strong.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and smart home technology, simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
You guys on hold, we'll get to you in just a second here. ABC Audio Video play of the game. You get beat 3-1. You have to go to the one as heard on ESPN television.
The next 3-2. And Bradley sends that out to right center field. Taylor scores easily. Back-to-back extra base hits, and the Brewers are on the board in the fifth.
Yeah, there it is on ESPN. Brewers fall 3-1. And, yeah, I'm with counsel there. You pitched really well, and you just had a few opportunities here and just couldn't get it done. All right, you guys on hold, we will get to you. I promise. And also, Steve on Twitter said he lived above a bar. And he agrees with me on that dice cup. We were talking about rolling the dice. But that dice cup, why you have to pound it onto the bar, drove him crazy. Oh, man, that alone. I can handle the music part, but just the slamming on the bar, that dice cup. Yeah, I'm with you, Steve, right there. Sapella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Tim Allen. There's Evan Heffelfinger and a Brewers 3-1 loss. They lose out on a chance to sweep the White Sox. We're going to hear from today's starter, Woody, next here on The Fan.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
All right, a 3-1 loss tonight. We're going to hear from Woody, who went 7 innings of those 3-run ball. You need some offense once in a while to win, but not bad. Over the weekend, you take 2 of 3. We are live here in the Lakeland University studios with online learning in 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. And before we hear from Woody, let's hear from Brian. Brian, you're next here on The Fan.
Hey, Tim. Listen to a lot of your callers tonight talking about Yelly, and I think I'm probably like everybody else. You know, we're all kind of looking for answers, right? But like a couple of your callers had mentioned, well, just let's trade him or let's
come on.
He's not going anywhere. Okay,
no.
We got him for 7 or 8 years at $182 million. I mean, we're not going to win a World Series unless Christian Yelich figures it out, right?
I think
we all could agree with that. All right.
Yep.
But my question to you, Timmy, is this. I mean, if we all want to go all in like we all want to do and win a World Series this year with our pitching staff, who are we prepared to trade? Because I'm going to tell you right out, again, you're probably not going to like what I have to say, but the guy that's probably on the chopping block to get traded is a guy that's in your outfield right now, and it's probably a Tyrone Taylor.
I agree with you. No, I agree with that. And I was saying, that's weird you bring that up. I was thinking about that earlier today that, you know, put it into the perspective from the other team. When you take a look at a Tyrone Taylor, you would say, you know what? I'd take that guy. Because I think other teams would. And so he's one. I think an outside shot would be a Keston Hiura. But
yeah,
it would take way more than a rental if they're going to move Keston.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we're looking for a stud, we need to go out there and get a stud third baseman is what we need to do, and get Braun back, and then you're going and you're getting yourself a corner infielder, and you still get some relief help, and I think now you got something, and. Again, we're not going to win unless Christian Yelich figures it out this year. And I'm like you, Timmy. Every time he comes up the bat, I have to think he's going to figure it out. Unlike a few others that say, well, I don't want to see him come up the bat. Well, I'm still in that corner of he's going to figure it out. And he's too good of a hitter not to figure it out, even though he hasn't shown it this year.
And you just feel that tonight I felt it in 2 of those at-bats. It was like, oh, this is it. There's your moment. I mean, Tyrone had his moment with the Grand Slam on Friday night. You see these other guys and Adamas and Wong, everyone having their moment. You have to just gamble and throw him out there. And I say throw him out there. You start him every day. I could see a day off or two. I really could, just to cleanse the mind a little bit. But you keep pushing him back out there and say, hey, You need to figure it out, Christian. This has to come from within. There's nobody going to wave a magic wand around you, Christian.
You can drop him in the order. I don't have a problem with dropping him in the order, but you're going to need to play him and figure it out.
And he's, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you, Brian, man. I just think he's going to come up with these hits. And maybe the biggest run of his career is coming. We can't rule it out. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't look good, and the odds probably aren't with that. But it's possible. It really is.
Right.
All right, Brian. Thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, you're next on the fan here.
Yeah, Tim, I think you and the last caller kind of stole my thunder. Yeah, my suggestion was you got to play Christian Yelich every day, but you got to drop him down in the order a little bit and hold him accountable. You can't be hitting him the two hole. If you maybe drop him down to the five or the six, you know, maybe that'll kind of re-trigger him and get him off to a better.
So that would be my question to you. But how far down?
Yeah, I think maybe five. Because you don't want to put him too low and really knock his confidence. But I think maybe the five hole.
It's hard to believe that, you know, as of a few weeks ago, his numbers are actually getting worse. I mean, he's down to 235. His on base now has dropped to 382, which is still really good. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's been hovering 403, 407, 400 for most of the season. So at least you do get the on base. But now the numbers are starting to fall a little bit. Ryan.
And there's going to be some tough decisions regarding call-ups. Lorenzo Cain's coming back from the DL. Maybe you add a Ryan Braun. JBJ, I've been waiting for your JBJ rant one of these days, Tim, but I got to give him credit today. He had two big doubles and a couple nice catches in center field, so he earned his paycheck today.
he did, and that may be coming, but thanks for the call, Ryan. On JBJ, you know, you can see some of the ABs getting better here. Whether it's the approach or, you know, the swing in general, there's some drive in the baseball. There's some authority behind now some of his hits. So we're seeing. I do believe this, and I'm sticking with JBJ. I'm a little frustrated with it because he had been given the absolute opportunity that I don't think he would have had without these injuries. He was given an opportunity to essentially play every day, and it didn't work out for him. I believe if you put him back in that 4-5 outfielder role, that's when he excels. I do. And that, you know, the timing may be real good for that. You know, Lorenzo coming back, sure. But Avi, you know, they're watching his health a little bit. It clearly appears to me that there may be a back or some sort of malady going on with Avi, because there's a lot of off days for Avi Garcia. Maybe a little bit too much for my liking, and especially with Lorenzo down, he should have been playing essentially every day. He hasn't been. I mean, it's not been, you know, half the time, but a few more off days than I would have imagined here for a guy that's having a pretty darn good season. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. They've got to get it together. And you're right, with some additional real quick before Woody. Some additional roster implications, if you will. Travis Shaw is going to be eligible to come off on August 9th. Vogelback is eligible, I believe, any time. So that's up to, you know, how he does, and they're both headed to play in Nashville. So, yeah, roster decisions are coming. Brewers, 58-42 through the first 100 games, in large part due to their pitching. And Woody, not bad tonight. 7 innings, a 3-run ball against a very good White Sox team. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Brandon, are you thinking about that 0-2 fastball to Lynn? Do you have any second guesses on that one in hindsight?
Yes. I was really upset with myself on that one. I should have – I mean, yeah, looking back, in hindsight now, yeah, I mean, he could have got out on that pitch, but that gave him a chance. I just caught way too much of the plate with it, and it was one of those I should have threw a breaking ball. I knew he was swinging. I knew he was being aggressive, and that was the game right there, basically. So that was definitely one of those where it's a learning moment. But yes, that one, it hurts because in the back of my mind, I probably should have stepped off and collected myself and threw a breaking ball there just to bury one and didn't do it. And, you know, I take all the credit for that one. That was not a smart move by me, but, and credit to Lance. I mean, he was able to get a bat to it and help himself out. So, you just learn from it, move on and go on about the next one.
With the way Lynn has also pitched this year, when you give up three runs, are you saying to yourself, wow, this is going to be hard to make up because he just doesn't give up many runs?
I wasn't telling, myself that. I basically just came in after that inning and basically just reset and told myself that they weren't going to get any more runs and just kind of hold them right there and try to give the team a chance to stay in the ball game. So that's after you give up runs like that early on, your goals and your mission changes a little bit. It would have been nice to get a zero there, but when that happened, it's like you got to start over, clear what just happened, and now your goal is to basically pitch as deep as you can into the game and keep the score the same. So that's basically what I tried to do after that.
Anything else for Brandon?
Woody, the batters ahead of Lynn that inning too, you had two outs and nobody on after the double play. I'm sure that, was something.
Yeah, two out walks, anytime you have those. And I had another one that I was pretty frustrated about. I think it might have been the fourth inning or whenever it was. But anytime you have a two-out walk and you give them a free base, for whatever reason, it comes back to hurt you. And that can't happen because you get the double play ball and then you're two outs, and it's one of those where you just got to stay focused and try to make some pitches. I didn't do that. And got lazy with a couple fastballs. They were able to get a hit, and then that's – what set the table up for Lynn to get that hit there.
That dude right there is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball right now. And when you project out another, couple of months seasoning here, some postseason, then you go into next year and the following year. Again, 28 years old, yes, I get it. But Brandon Woodruff, he has every opportunity here. The trajectory for him, wow. Being one of the best pitchers, elite pitchers in baseball. It's just, we look at seven innings of three-run ball like it's a rough outing for him. it's really a good outing when you get down to it. All right, so enough time has lapsed here. Evan Heffelfinger, we've been doing this lately, and we'll do it down the stretch here. As Craig Counsell is driving home to Whitefish Bay. Hello, Craig. Decent series. Yeah, good series. Your pitching was outstanding. We're getting a lot of feedback on the Christian Yelich conversation. I don't envy that situation for you because it at times has to feel helpless, Craig. It just does. And there's only one thing to do. Just stay with him. I mean, that's all I can think of. We've dissected this every angle. For now, several weeks here, if not months, and I don't know what you and Andy are going to do, but I don't think there's much to do. This has to come from Christian Yelich. Nobody's going to detect. Oh, it's this flaw, your hand position, a little weird. Now you're off and running. But I do miss the game changing swings here, Craig. That's got to be really tough for you. You know, your expectations of Christian Yelich are higher than some of these other guys. That's the reality of it. That's why he's paid what he's paid. That's why he's got the resume he's got. So I'm with you. I miss those game-changing swings once a week. Let's start with one of those a week, a big three-run homer. How about a big two-run double to take the lead in the eighth inning? Yeah, so that's what I have to say to you, Craig. Enjoy your day off tomorrow. and have fun in Pittsburgh without facing Adam Frazier, who just kills you guys. So that's going to be handy. Anything you want to say to Craig on his ride home, Evan Heffelfinger?
Yeah, hey, Craig, big fan. Appreciate you sticking around this city and being such a great manager, a great guy, and a great ambassador for the city. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? That was awesome. Speaking of the Bucks, Ryan Braun was at that game. Pretty cool to see him there. He was sitting in the owner's seats at the Brewers game that day. What, Craig, just wondering, what are your thoughts on Ryan Braun coming back, playing first base or left field and being your three-hitter again for this pennant stretch? I think that it would help Yelich. We're talking about Yelich, and I think having his really good friend here, his good buddy, would be good. And give him that send-off that he didn't get last year. So just, you know, if you want to call me or text me, I'm sure you have my number. We can talk about it. Or we'll talk later this week on the post-game show, Craig. But good series. Good series.
Craig, one final thing to Christian Yelich. Have you considered the sports psychologist?
I would happy to step in and become the Brewer sports psychologist.
Oh, I'd love to just sit and have lunch with Yelly. We'd have a lot to discuss. He would pick up the tab, though. I will promise you that. Although, I guess I would.
Depends on if we're going to Chipotle or not. Yeah. I would probably buy him Chipotle.
All right, Craig. Well, enjoy your day off. Good luck in Pittsburgh, and we'll certainly talk to you again. Nice series over the weekend against the White Sox. Congrats on the success thus far. 58-42. We'll take a break. Take a look at the matchup going into the series on Tuesday against Pittsburgh. And again, guys, you're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove here on The Fan.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on The Fan.
All right, final couple of minutes here as we wind down the weekend of baseball in the homestand. Brewers, another off day tomorrow. And Craig Counsell this week was talking about, you know, giving his pitchers some rest, and innings are going to be at hiked up as opposed to last year. So, it's an educated gamble to go about it this way. Six-man rotation, and then he gave Freddy Peralta just a short start, and, you know, things like that. They're getting very creative, and quite frankly, in the way Craig Counsell manages a pitching staff, I can't have too many arguments against it. I don't. I mean, really, the success does speak for itself there. So, I'm going my five guys, and that's it. It's go time. It's go time, but that's just me. And maybe I'd pay the price with a potential arm soreness or fatigue or whatever might happen in early September. So hopefully it'll work out for him. But the matchup for game one, a three-game set in Pittsburgh, the Adam Frazier-less Pittsburgh Pirates on Tuesday, Evan.
Thank God. He is so good, but so good.
Yep.
I don't want to see that facing the Brewers at all. The probables, with knowing how the Brewers changed their pitching, who knows who could be starting. Listed right now, we have Brett Anderson, who's 2-5 with a 4.26 ERA. He's matched up with Tyler Anderson, another left-handed pitcher for the Pirates, who's 5-8 with a 4.35 ERA. So a couple of Andersons going at it.
Yeah, they met, I believe the two Andersons went at it earlier this season. So we get the second Anderson against Anderson. Okay, well, that's going to wrap things up for tonight. More conversations tomorrow on this series, as well as the Milwaukee Bucks. Green Bay Packers training camp is going to fire up in just a few days here. And you got Bart Winkler tomorrow morning, Wendy's Big Show at 10, Rami in the afternoon, and we'll have our day off here, and then we'll see you again after the last pitch as you make the switch. 6:05 first pitch in Pittsburgh. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. For Evan Heffelfinger, that's his real name. Indeed, wouldn't make that up. My name is Tim Allen. You guys enjoy your Monday. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. And as always, remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.